If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 774. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about beaches and boats, cathedrals and caves, an Arab bath, and a torture chamber as we go to the island of Mallorca in Spain. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about Mallorca. I would like to welcome Aaron Carey from Rome Generation PR, RomeGeneration.com, who's come to talk to us about Mallorca. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hello, and thank you so much for having me, Chris.
And can you put Mallorca on a map for us? Where are we talking about, first of all?
Okay, so Mallorca is in the Mediterranean, so it is off the coast of Spain, essentially off the east coast of Spain, above Ibiza. We actually sailed there in our boat, which is why I can picture quite clearly where it is, because
you had to navigate there.
We had to follow the chart to get there.
Exactly. Unlike some of us who had to just get on a plane or a cruise ship or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah,
part of Spain. And since I did mention you're from a PR company, can we get this out of the way? You are not paid to be on the show and talk about Mallorca. Is that correct?
Correct. I have no affiliation whatsoever to the tourism board there. That was just part of our trip, and we ended up spending about 2 months there. So I loved it. So I would love to have a chat about it.
Excellent. And this is not a Mallorcan accent either that people are hearing.
No, not at all. I'm from Adelaide, Australia.
Excellent, which we just talked about on the show. So for people who want to know more about Aaron's hometown, you can go back a couple episodes. Aaron, why should someone go to Mallorca?
Well, it's a good question. Besides from being absolutely stunning, there are plenty of reasons why people should go there. And the thing is, I knew very little about Mallorca. Because we live on our boat and we are traveling around the world, essentially, and I run a business from my boat, and we have three children, as you heard screaming in the background before, I found that I have very little time to research the destinations that we're going. And that really goes against my personality, because I love to research travel destinations. In the past, we were going on a holiday, I would research for months on end, and that would be almost as fun as the actual trip itself. But this day and age, I just don't have the time to research. So when we arrive somewhere, I may have done a quick look on TripAdvisor to see what the top destinations or attractions are, but that's as far as I get. So when I arrived into Mallorca, I was very pleasantly surprised, not because I didn't expect it to be great, but I just didn't know what to expect at all, I suppose. I had no idea that there would be like pine forests on the island. I guess I was thinking, I think because we've cruised in the Caribbean, I don't know, I think of an island and I think tropical but it's not tropical, obviously. We're in the Mediterranean, and it was actually one of our first destinations since being on our boat this year that we visited. So I didn't know what to expect. Obviously, it's still part of Spain. But yeah, for some reason, I didn't imagine this beautiful island with pine forests and rocky outcross of cliffs and little coves with tiny beaches tucked away there. And probably the biggest surprise of all was the city of Palma de Mallorca, which I was just blown away by. I did not expect this. I didn't think I'd expect it to be so big, but it's a full-on city. It's probably one of the most beautiful European cities that I visited, and we've been around to most of them. It's got stunning architecture, beautiful quiet alleys and streets and squares and trees and all the great stuff that European cities have. That was a surprise for me. So far we've got the pine forest, there's mountains, there's obviously the beaches, there's a beautiful city with shopping and attractions and museums and cathedrals. There is the food. Spain food is amazing. There's the wine, of course. It's very easy on the eye. Everywhere you go, it's beautiful. And I just found myself going, wow, look at this place. And every town that we visited would be more beautiful than the next. So I love to take photos. So I found myself taking hundreds of photos, beautiful scenery and perfect vistas and views.
Excellent. Why don't we jump into what you should see there then?
Yeah, absolutely.
What kind of itinerary are you going to recommend for us? Where should we start? Probably in Palma?
Well, I was actually going to have a start up in Sóller.
Okay.
Sóller is at the top of the island. I mean, Obviously you're going to fly into Palma, But I was going to take us straight up to Sóller. It's a little seaside village. Actually, it's called Port de Sóller. Interestingly, in Mallorca, there seems to be a town called, for in this case, Sóller, and then a port, which is usually maybe about 5 kilometres away. So that seems to be quite common, that the main town is inland and then the seaside village, the port, is on the coast. So there is the town of Port de Sóller and then the town of Sóller, both within 5 kilometres of each other. So I would have us stay in Port de Sóller, which is on the beach, on the water. So we actually sailed our boat there and we spent 2 weeks in the port, anchored off the coast. And I had views of beautiful hotels that I threatened to my husband I would go and stay in. If the boat didn't stop rocking, it was a pretty rolly anchorage. So it was pretty uncomfortable for quite a few nights. And I'd be looking out at this white, perfect Spanish mission style hotel and dream of being in a crisp white sheet bed. But instead I was stuck in my boat. So that's probably where I would stay. There's a hotel in particular. Now, full disclosure, I didn't stay there.
You just longed to stay there.
I looked dreamingly at it from the cockpit of my rolly boat and wished that I was staying there. I did go into the hotel lobby and I had a drink and I sat there and I was impressed. So the rest of the hotel is like the lobby. I'm sure it's lovely. Hotel Esplendido, I think is Esplendido, how you pronounce that. Now, also full disclosure, Spanish is not obviously my first language. It's not even a language of mine whatsoever. So I will do my best to pronounce the words, but I will more than likely say things incorrectly.
Not a problem. I have some Spanish and will try and help if I can.
Great.
And then we also share a language that we don't speak alike anyway. So
I would stay at this hotel. Okay, what can I tell you about Port de Sóller? Sorry, it's got a horseshoe bay, it's very protected, and all around the bay, obviously to the back of the city or the town, the village, are mountains. So you've got the beach, you've got a horseshoe town situated with the esplanade continuing around the whole of the bay, and then you've got these beautiful rocky mountains behind you. So I love the combination of beach and mountains in the one town. You don't get too many towns like that, but I'm a sucker for that. So I just loved lying on the beach and being able to look around at the panoramic views and really feel like these mountains were towering over me.
Any specific sights we want to see while we're there, or we're just really enjoying the vibe of the town?
Well, Spain and Mallorca in particular is all about the beach. Spaniards love the beach. It's what you do in Spain, and especially on the weekend, especially Sunday. Sunday's family day, and they all go to the beach. They all have their umbrellas, and they're all kitted out, and you just lie in the sun all day at the beach. Now, as an Australian, you think I would be used to the heat, but we were there in July and August, and it was very hot. So I don't know how they lay out in the sun all day. That's why they've got such lovely brown skin. But it was quite hot, although we didn't get burnt, which, interestingly, they seem to have an ozone layer, unlike Australia. Oh. So besides the beach, there is actually a beautiful wooden tram that runs right down the main street mm-hmm. of the town. So I think that was €7 each. You can catch the tram and that goes to the town of Soyer, which is about 5 kilometres away. So that's obviously something that I think is a must do while you're there. There are restaurants that line the Esplanade, and of course it's recommended that you eat tapas and drink red wine and enjoy many long lunches, again, like the Spanish love to do. And then of an evening, it's usually quiet in the afternoon, obviously, when a lot of people go and have the siesta. And then of an evening, it really comes alive. Like, it's fairly busy through the day, but at night is when it's cooler, everybody comes out. It's a great family location. Although I think it'd also be good if you're on a honeymoon. We saw quite a few couples that look like they could have been on their honeymoon there. So because we travel full time and long term, we're not huge on doing the touristy things, I suppose. We like to kind of live and experience the place and get a nice feel for it. So we did do the tram, but other than that, we didn't do any other particular attractions. Although my son did get his paddy dive certification there. So that's something that you can do through Dive Soyer. And he was really pleased with that and they did a really great job. He's only 10 years old and I didn't go with him. So they were really good and looked after him really well. So if anyone's thinking of getting their dive sort of certification, you can certainly do that there. But besides that, whilst I would base myself in Soyer, maybe for a few days, it's very easy to travel around the island from there. So if we go to the next day, assuming we have a beach day and we do the long lunches and everything, we also need to travel around the island. So after Soyer, I would take us around the island towards the east and must-see destinations over that side of the island, a town called Poyenza. And Poyenza it's like a walled town, and I love walled towns. I love the old town, and that's...
I do as well. I think many of us do who did not grow up with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So beautiful walled village. And this is particularly great because you can walk around the wall on top of it. So we found our way up. There's quite a number of places in the wall where you can climb up and then you can walk around and you get like a lovely view of the town from above the rooftops. So you can see all of the small courtyards and the really cute courtyards where people have got their flower pots and their little clothesline. And it's a nice view into what life is like living in this town. So we actually hired a car on this particular day and we probably spent about 2 hours walking around the walls of the city and walking through town. We obviously had the coffee that you have in every town, and I think we had a couple of pieces of cake as well, and just really enjoyed the nice slow pace of that city. And there was a spot on the wall where they had a nice write-up about the history of the village as well, which we found really interesting. It has actually gone through so much turmoil and so many attacks on the town. It was quite incredible to be able to read that out to the children here. They're actually a really resilient village that has gone through a lot. They stayed unified together for so long through so many attacks, which, yeah, it was interesting to read about all of that to the children especially.
Well, and both Soler and the town you've been talking about, Palenza, are mountainous towns in the Serra de Tramuntana. Butcher Box is sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler, and I just got my first Butcher Box. I've got packed with dry ice came 4 packets of ground beef, 3 packets of chicken breasts, 2 steaks, some pork ribs, and some sirloin tips. Now, I've got a great recipe for what to do with the chicken. At least one of those packets of chicken is going to become Greek chicken and rice. And if you go to chris2x.com, I've got a recipe there that's an Instant Pot recipe. But I'm not good with steak, and so I'm going to take advantage of the fact that ButcherBox has recipes on their site at butcherbox.com to learn some great recipes to do with those steaks.
You can have ButcherBox deliver meat to your doorstep. Free shipping as always, curated to custom box plans. You can easily find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. Also like the fact that I could recycle all the box and shipping material that they sent. Sign up at butcherbox.com/traveler and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. Choose salmon, chicken, breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/traveler. If you got recipes for ribs or steaks, send them my way as I send my thanks to ButcherBox.com for sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler. And that is a UNESCO World Heritage Site for the cultural landscape there, which is always one of those odd things. It seems a little vague. So there are main popular well-known sites that we'll get to later in Palma. But the only UNESCO World Heritage Site on the island is this mountainous region. It's basically these mountain towns.
Yeah, and look, I can see why. They are stunning. Europe is stunning, and I knew that, but these villages were almost like movie sets. They were perfect in every way. The pink bougainvillea growing on the stone walls with the beautiful wooden shutters and decorative doors and stairs and town squares. They had it all with the mountainous outlook all around them. So they were really beautiful and definitely worth visiting. We didn't hike in the mountains, but that's definitely something that you can do if you're interested. And some people I see hire bikes. You would have to be obviously very fit to do that.
To do hills.
Yes, but certainly not something we managed to do. And also I didn't cover back in Soyer or Port de Soyer when you go into the town of Soyer. That was very surprising. It had an enormous cathedral and beautiful town square in the middle of it. And it was one of the most beautiful little town squares that I've experienced. And then we went back on a Saturday night and there was live music. So there was a band and it felt like the whole town had come out to watch this band. And there were beautiful lanterns lighting up the town square and the cathedral was illuminated. And the main shopping street in Soyer, it sounds maybe a little bit tacky, but they actually did it really well. The whole street for 800 metres or something maybe is lined with umbrellas, and they were brightly coloured and they weren't shabby. They looked all brand new and perfectly arranged. So that made for great photos as well. So it's a very picturesque town, as is most of Mallorca, as I said earlier. So there's a few towns that we've covered already. Mm-hmm. So after that, I mean, we've only got a week, so we have to definitely go to Palma. But first of all, I'm going to take you down to Santa Ponsa. Now, Santa Ponsa is where we anchored our boat for the majority of the time that we were there. And it's very popular place for English people to go for their vacations. So I assume, like Australia, we all seem to go to Bali. I think it seemed to me that plenty of English people travel to Santa Ponsa. And it had the kind of high-rise hotels and the bars lining the street and the buckets of cocktails. And it was quite a contrast to the previous two or three towns that I described. So it had a completely different feel. It certainly wasn't as beautiful, but it didn't make it any less fun, I suppose, or interesting. It has a beautiful beach. Again, it's a big bay, so great for boating, obviously, but also provides a beautiful backdrop for people staying in the hotel. You can look out and see the yachts dancing on anchor, and always when there's a beach, there's the beautiful rainbow of coloured umbrellas that they all lie under, and that's always such a beautiful sight to see, I would imagine, out of your hotel high-rise apartment. And there's the shopping there, and I think that would be more about nightlife. Now, we have three kids and nightlife wasn't really how anything that we did. We weren't there for the nightlife, but from what I could tell, when we were heading home at 9 o'clock after dinner, they would be just kind of coming out and you'd hear the loud music and Yeah, so that's another spot to check off the list. And then from there, you can easily catch a bus. It depends. I mean, I think if you were staying on the island, you would probably hire a car, which is what we'll, I'm sure, discuss afterwards. But you can also easily catch a bus to a town called Endrax. Now, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that correct. But again, it's a beautiful port town now. I am maybe biased towards the port towns because I love the boat, I love the ocean. But this is a much quieter seaside village, and the restaurants felt a little bit more upmarket. The shops were more upmarket and more expensive, so maybe that might be a little bit more of an expensive part of the island. Again, I didn't look at the hotel prices. I certainly did pay attention to the real estate prices, and all over the island it all was very expensive, I suppose. I'm not sure how it compares to the rest of the world, but it certainly would be a place that I would love to move to one day. And the Spanish style of houses are also, I find, really beautiful. So I would imagine that Airbnbs there would be really lovely as well, because you get to experience those Spanish villas and missions. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's something else that we did while we were there. We went and explored an ancient mansion. When I say ancient, I think it was built in the 1700s, so don't quote me on that. So we went and visited this mansion, and it's on beautiful grounds. And inside the mansion, it's completely decked out as though a family, or I think in this case, it must have been a number of families or almost a community were living within this mansion, because it had, they made their own food, and obviously they had to store all of their supplies in there. There were stables and metalworking areas, and there was even the, I guess, equivalent of the jail. And they actually even tortured people on site. So they had all of the torture rooms set up, and the kids found it very interesting, as did my husband and I. I'm glad that they didn't, when they weren't so interested in reading some of the information, because it was quite gruesome for what they described they would do to people. But it was interesting nonetheless. But I love that kind of museum where you can touch and smell and experience what life was like back then. It really did immerse us into what it would have been like living back in that era, and especially on the island of Mallorca, trying to imagine what it would have been like. So that was really great. And that's something I would definitely recommend people doing. And it wasn't too expensive. I think for our whole family, it might have cost around, I think, around 30 euro.
And I think it sounds like the name of the place you're talking about is La Granja de Espoirles. 17th century mansion.
Could be. I'm glad you're pronouncing it, not me. But yeah, that was really beautiful. And that was up in the region of the Pollença kind of area. Mm-hmm. I think last but not least would be Palma. And that was just by far my favorite city. I think in the 2 months that we stayed there, I would have gone there, I don't know, 10 times at least, because I just loved being there. It was like the perfect size city for me. It was big enough in that it had amazing shopping and everything that you'd expect in a city, but it was small enough that you could kind of walk around the whole city in a day, and you felt really safe there. And as a whole, we felt very safe in the island at all times. We let our children kind of have a bit of freedom. They had some friends there, so we'd allow them to walk to the shop and grab an ice cream, or go and swim at the beach for a little while. Not the little one, but the older two, with some other friends. So it's a very safe island. I'm sure they have the same issues as any cities do, but we felt really safe there. But yeah, Palma was just amazing. So I'd love to kind of delve into that a little bit more.
Sure.
But again, we didn't do a great deal in the way of like tourist attractions, more just immersing myself in the city, visiting restaurants, drinking sangria in the town square. Although I did learn that drinking sangria is actually quite taboo. Locals don't drink sangria, and it makes you stand out as a tourist. So I was really disappointed to hear that, because I absolutely love sangria. But I was encouraged to drink Tinto Verano, which is essentially red wine, but a better quality of red wine, with a can of soft drink mixed into it. So it's not really classy, but for some reason that is much more classy than ordering sangria. But anyway, I still order the Sea Snakey Sangrias because I just think it's delicious. But apparently they use the really bad quality red wine in sangria.
Oh, I see. Sure. Yeah.
That's fine. I'm not fussy. So, yeah, having sangria or iced coffees or empanadas. They had beautiful pastries. There was also another specialty dish that I am not going to be able to pronounce. Encimada, that was terrible, which is basically like a spiral pastry made with flowers, eggs, water and sugar, and they kind of knit it all together, I suppose, into this round dish. The fat that they use, instead of like the regular butter or whatever, they use pork lard, so it's obviously really good for you. But yeah, it's super delicious. And there's this beautiful building that's apparently 400 years old. It's really decorative. It's in the middle of Parma. And this is where they specialize in just that product. I've got some beautiful photos of that building. So that's one thing that people definitely need to try while they're there. But there's obviously lots of other amazing dishes as well, food-wise. But site-wise, people have to go and see the cathedral. Mm-hmm. De Mallorca. So it's actually apparently one of the biggest cathedrals, or maybe the biggest cathedral in the world, on the water. So don't quote me, a taxi driver told me that. I don't know how true that is.
Yeah, the taxi driver information is sometimes a little sketchy, but yeah. It is large.
It sounded legit.
It is imposing.
It's really big.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's impressive. We didn't go inside, and I'm not sure if you can go inside. It wasn't open when we were there, but on the outside, it's really very equally impressive. So I would imagine as impressive as the inside, should I say. So there's several vantage points that you can look at it and take a photo, and there's also a body of water with fountains that are around the cathedral that you can overlook it and have another nice kind of view. So yeah, that was really beautiful. There's horse and carriages that go around the town and that go past the cathedral that you can ride on. Again, a little too kind of touristy for my likings. The kids were hassling us to go on there, but we didn't do that. But that's definitely something that people can do while they're there. And then shopping. I love shopping. I'm not ashamed to say it. And I was very surprised by the quality of shops. They've got a whole street, actually. Passage des Bornes. Again, I'm sure that's pronounced terribly, but it's a beautiful, wide, tree-lined avenue. It's full of bars and cafes and restaurants, and there's also like a whole stack of high-end boutiques and high-end fashion shops in there. So I was pleasantly surprised, not that I could afford to shop in those shops, but that's Mallorca. There's the rich and the rich, and then I'm sure there's the other spectrum as well, but it is quite flashy. It's the super yacht capital, so there's definitely that feeling of money there, and it's clear that the government are trying their best to keep it all very clean and polished, and we certainly got the feeling that it was a very well looked after island. I mean, I know that there is obviously the underbelly and the not so good side of things, and I'm sure that not all of the residents, I did hear that, you know, some of the residents struggled to be able to survive there because it is a very expensive island. We did find that, and that was probably mainly the food for us, because we had our own accommodation. We found that we were going through quite a lot of money there, and I can see if you were on the minimum wage there that it probably would be quite hard to be able to afford to live there. So that's probably one thing I would say, is to save your pennies and allow a decent budget there, because I'm sure that it's probably in line with Italy and Croatia and the Western European countries. But now that we're in Tunisia, it feels like we can breathe a sigh of relief that our money isn't kind of hemorrhaging like it was when we were in Mallorca.
One of the things that is a popular tourist outing from Palma, which I don't know if you had a chance to do, is some of the caves.
We didn't do the caves, no.
Okay. Well, then let me tell you about that.
Yes,
so
because
we had a chance. I've only been in Palma for one day. I was on a cruise that we've talked about on this show in the Western Med, but I did the Cuevas del Drac. I'm exactly sure how to pronounce the CH in Spanish, but it is basically the Dragon Caves is what it stands for. It is beautiful caverns, as you were used to seeing, with an underground river in it. It's very touristy. And I think they would probably be a better experience if they let in about half the tourists at the time that they usually do. But it was interesting because you would go down there and they actually would have some musicians playing while you were down in this cave doing a little concert there. And then at the end, you could get on a boat and do the last part of the trip in the boat. I did not do the press of people who went down to the boat. I walked along and took pictures of the people in the boat. But it was an interesting experience. If you were somebody who likes caves, it is popular. It was a popular day trip also for those people who are in town, for instance, for a cruise or something like that.
Yeah, look, that sounds beautiful. I actually do like caves, so I'm kind of bummed that I missed it. But I think one very obvious thing that we've missed is the fact that Mallorca is all about boating.
Right. I was going to say there are boat trips, yeah. But of course you weren't taking boat trips out to some of the islands, for instance, when we were talking about the last place you talked about before Palma, and the name is escaping me. There's a popular boat trip out to Sa Dragonera.
Oh, Andrax. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are some little islands and they're quite rocky and we sailed past a couple of them actually. But that was definitely one thing I noticed when we were sailing around the island. There were boats everywhere. I feel like if you live in Mallorca, I'd like to know what percentage of the population, but a lot of people own a boat and that seems to be what life is pretty much all about, is getting out on the water, enjoying your boat, cruising around the island, fishing, spending day out on the water. It really is a beautiful place to experience the ocean. So that would be a definite in my itinerary, is to go on a charter boat for the day, whether that be a catamaran or a powerboat. I would obviously lean towards a sailing boat because we live on a sailing boat. But yeah, you've got to get out there and experience a day on the water, because seeing the island from that different viewpoint, it's very different and it's worthwhile. The water is really blue and it's actually quite stunning, a stunning colour, really like a deep sapphire, different to other places. It's interesting because that is actually a fact that obviously sailed in a lot of different areas and the water's blue's not blue. And I commented to my husband numerous times about the gorgeous colour of the water around Mallorca and the cliffs. I'm used to where we came from, the Caribbean, mountains and lush greenery and jungle, and then to see these cliffs that you can see that where the waters created these grooves over millions of years of the ocean splashing into it. You can see how high the waves have been at different times, and lots of caves all around the island. And we actually took our dinghy out on a couple of occasions and snorkeled around the cliffs where you could see the ocean kind of drop off hundreds of feet, and it feels quite scary to me, but also really great. So yeah, spend a day in the water, do some snorkeling and look at the island from that different viewpoint.
I was reminded of, so while you're talking, I'm also Googling to see that we're not missing things, which of course we always are, but you can't search for things to do in without finding the TripAdvisor site, which you mentioned early in the show. And I'm a big fan of TripAdvisor, just full and fair disclosure. I worked there as an employee for a year and a half and a contract for 3 more years. But one of the things I'm less a fan of is the top 10 things to do in page, because it's based on reviews. It's not based on editors, for instance. Mm-hmm. And so one of the ways that you can judge how good it is look up the top 10 things to do in your town or your city that you know well and see what they recommend. For instance, in San Francisco, the best rated thing to do often has been the Segway tour. And I'm sure the Segway tour is wonderful. Sure, it's great, but you wouldn't say, oh, when you go to San Francisco, you got to make sure you do the Segway tour. You'd say, go to the Golden Gate Bridge or go to Alcatraz or something. But it's not a bad starting place as long as you understand that it's not in context. But they did have a couple recommendations that I did, a good reminder for me that we ought to mention. And one is there's great views of the city from, there's a 14th century castle that overlooks the port, which I forgot about, which is Castel de Bellevere. And so if you want to see the port of Palma from a 14th century castle, which also has a museum, that's one site that's worth mentioning. And then they also recommended one of the markets, which is the Mercat de Olivar, which I think is worthwhile. And then I'm sure they recommended a Segway tour, which we'll just skip. But hey, I've got nothing against Segway tours. They're fun, but just not necessarily as the top 10 thing to do there.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. We did go to the Mercat de Oliveira, and that's definitely worth a look. And also there's the Trendy Soyer, which is a historic wooden railway train that goes, I think, from Parma all the way to Soyer. I've been told it's really great. We didn't do that, but I saw the pictures of the train, and it did look fun. So, yeah, like I said, we're traveling long term. We, for one, can't afford to do everything that we want to do, but also just that's not the point of our trip. We're not on an endless holiday. This is just our lifestyle. So if we were there for 1 week, that would be definitely something that I would want to do as well.
Excellent. Anything else we want to do to wrap up the itinerary? We're starting in the North Coast. We're going to some of the mountain towns. We're going to hit some of the ports. We're going to Palma. Anything else we want to add before we do some of our wrap-up questions?
Did I mention the town of Alcudia?
No.
That is up around Poyenza as well, up in that east kind of top corner. And that was also a beautiful little village where we just stopped quickly for a coffee. And there's a beautiful viewpoint where you can have your photo taken in front of a backdrop of a big valley where you can overlook vineyards and I think a church and the mountains further off in the background. So that was really nice. And there's also a huge staircase that I don't even know if you'd call it a staircase, but let's call it a staircase. There's a huge amount of stairs that leads up to a church at the top. We're talking 500 meters at least of stairs, just straight going up. It's not particularly steep, but it's quite far and it's hot, as I was saying. So we were pretty tired by the time we reached the top, but it's worth just walking up these stairs. Again, great photo opportunity, and there's a beautiful view from the top. And then we just walked down along the road, which led us through a different part of the village, walking through the cobbled streets and seeing the people living and going about their daily life. Really gave us a nice little insight into that town as well. So there's plenty to see and do. I'm sure that you could plan another whole week's itinerary and touch another whole set of villages that I haven't mentioned. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely up there in a place that not only would I want to go back to, but a place that I could see myself living in one day, because it has it all. It has mountains, it has the beaches, it has city, it's got the villages, it's got the countryside, the olives and the pine forest.
Well,
and
the one thing we've alluded to but haven't gone into detail on is there is quite a lot of history here. We're talking about an area that was settled by the Moors and by the Romans and by the Vandals. I mean, the historic Vandals, not people who are vandalizing things. And the Spanish, obviously, when you were talking about Polenza, for instance, the main church that's in town is this 13th century church built by the Knights Templar. I mean, it's an area that has been a real crossroads over the time period. And so if you are a history buff, there are a number of different things that you can see in the various things. As I recall, there's a Moorish part of Palma that you can explore. And just there is a lot of depth here because it has been settled for so long.
Absolutely. Yeah, history is huge, and it's not something that we've gotten into much. I think when you've got young children, it's just hard to stand in the museums and read everything. But history buffs, I think, would definitely love that. And there's also different regions of the island where they speak even different languages, which I found quite fascinating. So it's a very interesting island with a lot of depth and a lot to offer, and I don't think people would be disappointed.
Oh, and it was the Arab baths that I was trying to remember in Palma that are one of the places where you can get in touch with that particular Moorish part of their history. Excellent. Well, why don't we move on to some of our wrap-up questions? If you were standing in the prettiest spot in Mallorca, where are you standing and what are you looking at?
I think I would have been at the top of the stairs that I mentioned in, I think that was the town of Alcudia.
Over there on the East Coast, okay.
Yeah. Looking to stand in the valley and the mountains all around, the ocean in the distance. It was beautiful.
Excellent. And one thing that makes you laugh and say, only in Mallorca.
Only in Mallorca would you see a gorgeous lady walking down the street in a thong bikini.
Oh, interesting, because that's usually in Europe not recommended appropriate attire except at the beach.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we saw that several times. My husband was just like, well, that's just unbelievable. I mean, he certainly wasn't complaining. But yeah, quite a few times I had to kind of avert my young son's the gaze and try and get their attention because I'm sure the ladies obviously on the way to the beach, but yeah, they wore their bikini through the town. I mean, hey, if you've got it flaunted, I'm certainly not against that at all. But yeah, with the women in Spain are very body positive, which is obviously a fantastic thing.
Excellent. And if you had to summarize Mallorca in just three words, what three words are you going to use?
Water, mountains, opulence.
Excellent. And by the way, you can tour the Palma Cathedral, and there is also a small museum in there as well. I did look that up, and I forgot to mention that there's a chapter museum there. There is an entrance fee for that. Aaron, thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for Mallorca. If people go to roamgeneration.com, they can find out more about your PR business. Can they also learn more about your travels there?
They can. They can learn a little bit about my travels. There's a link to sign up to the newsletter where I kind of update people once a month about where we are. But if you're more interested in our travels than you are my PR business, I also have a Facebook page called Sailing 2TO, Rome, R-O-A-M. And Rome is the name of my boat, the name of my business, and just a word that I love. And
okay.
I also love to roam. So it's from this song, the B-52 song, and that dates back to when my husband and I went on our very first Kentucky tour. That was the theme song of the bus. So yeah, it's got a lot of meaning.
And I'm looking at a picture of the Rome. How long is it?
She's 47 foot. So she's a 1984 Moody 47, big old solid boat that's taking my family around the world.
I would say big or small, depending on how long you've been on there with three boys. But
exactly. And after you've been in Mallorca, it seems very small. It's certainly not a super yacht, but yeah, she's a good boat.
Excellent. Aaron, thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler.
Thanks again.
Thanks again to the patrons of the show who help support Amateur Traveler financially. If you're interested in becoming a patron of the show, you can go to patreon.com/amateurtraveler. I took a week off the show recently, as you may recall, to do some traveling, just local travel. We went up to the Sonoma coast and up to the Sonoma County in California, which we talked about on the show before. I'm not sure when we'll talk about it again, but if you're interested in learning more, for instance, about the Sonoma coast, and we went for the first time to Fort Ross, which is the old Russian settlement on the Sonoma coast, which I had not been to, and I'm ashamed to say because I've lived in California for quite some time, but it was an interesting stop. And all of that information is on the blog on amateurtraveler.com, as well as other stories. So don't forget that there is a blog as well. With that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com, and thanks so much for listening.